Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 7th of May 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, we'll look ahead to the Gunners' final two games of the Premier League season at the chalkboard with Adrian Clarke. We'll celebrate Arsene Wenger's last home game as boss, that 5-0 thumping of Burnley, plus hearing from the man himself, as well as the likes of Per Mertesacker, Bob Wilson, Freddie Ljungberg and Kanu. But we start by getting the thoughts of our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, our Arsenal insider this week, I'm delighted to say, is the Daily Mirror's John Cross. John, brilliant to have you on the show and a very befitting man, given the fact that yesterday you got to deliver the media address, the media thank you to Arsene Wenger in the media conference room. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen it running perhaps on Sky Sports or on various other outlets. It was pretty poignant and pretty cool. How was it for you?
Well, very nerve-wracking, because it just gave me a bit of an insight into what these managers, I guess, go through to address a sort of a full room like that with confidence and sort of say what they mean. And I just feel as if Arsene Wenger, I think, has been absolutely fantastic for the press. I mean, I did make the point there's been criticism down the years. We've probably had our ups and downs. He's a manager that retains so much, I think, respect from members of my profession, simply because he never ducks a question. He always fronts up. He delivers his sound bites, back page gold. We've loved, I think, down the years, covering his football and the way that he's managed Arsenal Football Club. It's been absolutely amazing. And I think he's absolutely, commands that respect. And I just wanted to kind of give him an address. Behind the scenes, I think he's offered great, I think, comfort and humility and respect to sort of people who have sort of kind of touched our lives, I guess, and been ill or sort of passed away. And it's that kind of class and, I think, sort of respect that he offers that really needed, I think, sort of kind of mentioning him and sort of kind of giving it his praise, because I will really miss him. I do think journalism will really miss him. And I think he's on so many levels, just both as a manager and also as a human being. I do think he's a real class act, and kind of wanted to get across to him just the sort of the respect that he has from the world of journalism.
John, I know it's a very tough thing to quantify, and he's still got two games in charge, the away games that we'll look at later on the podcast. But what do you think, if you're going to kind of sum up a couple of Arsene Wenger legacies, what would you say?
Oh, I think it's the stadium that he stood in yesterday to really receive the praise and the final day. I think I'd like to make sort of first and foremost. I think in years to come, we'll appreciate it and realise it much more, in that basically you can point to other managers who've won titles and been successful and sort of shaped the way that their sort of club has been successful. But I think with Arsene Wenger, not only has he enjoyed great success on the pitch, but he's also guided the club through incredible change, absolutely remarkable times. And I think to that end, to oversee the building of a new stadium, let alone a new training ground, the stadium was a game changer and is a game changer for Arsenal, in that basically it makes them stand out as a European super club. He's put them on the map. He's, I think, made them consistent in the Champions League sense. Obviously, they've been out now for a couple of years, and as we know. But I do feel that he's really made that club a force to be reckoned with. If I was to look at his achievements as a football manager, so on the football pitch, then without doubt, I think the achievement of winning the Invincibles season, winning the title on the way in 2004 and on the way not losing a single game, just sets apart Arsenal in that season, simply because they played with such style, such power and pace. They had incredible players. They won incredible style. And I do think that those two issues would stand out a mile for me. In my view, he's the greatest manager Arsenal have ever had, probably ever will have, because we'll never see the likes of 22 years again, ever. It's absolutely impossible. And I just think it's so fitting that you know, Arsene Wenger is called Arsene, and it fits so well into Arsenal because, honestly, he's such an integral part of that football club now and forever, in my view.
John, let's just move back to action on the field. We'll talk about Sunday's thumping of Burnley in a moment, but this all-important match week, of course, began with the Europa League semi-final second leg away to Atletico Madrid, and one that just didn't go Arsenal's way. And we'll hear a quick bit from Arsene Wenger now, just the galling, the real hurt, the bitterness of that defeat and how hard he took it.
Look, I'm like the team, very sad and very disappointed. Overall, even very frustrated as well, because when you go out of a competition and you had the performances in 180 minutes we had, it's very difficult to take. Look, after I have to recover first from that huge disappointment tonight, and I'm very, very sad to leave the club with that exit. And I take some time to recover from that, and after I will see what I do with myself in the future. I have no plan at the moment.
Finger there speaking in less happy circumstances, first of all, John, but fingers crossed there is still, again, something to build from there, even though the European journey didn't end the way that fans would have wanted.
No, it didn't. And, you know, I was in Madrid and I felt that in many ways, I think we were looking to a sort of a fairy tale finish for Wenger, and it would have been amazing. I think if they'd managed to edge through that semi-final, then they would have been favourites, in my view, to win the final, simply because they were playing the hardest team against Atletico Madrid. And to be honest, I don't think they defended particularly well in patches on the night, and they had a lot of possession but didn't really make it count, or sort of they weren't incisive enough in the final third. But, you know, they actually played quite well in patches. So there's something there to build on. I do think it's significant now that they get back into the Europa League, because then it potentially offers another lifeline next season. But it's been a very difficult, I think, sort of campaign, simply because the number of games and the number of sort of challenges. They've been fairly lucky with the draws. I mean, basically, CSK was relatively easy. AC Milan was a tough test, which they came through very well indeed, and with style, and shows that they can still compete against the sort of the bigger names, if you like. And they went fairly close against Atletico. So there's something to take out of it. And I just think it's so disappointing that Arsene Wenger will feel as if he'd want to finish with a trophy and also a passport back into the Champions League.
Yeah, and that passport back into the Champions League would have been critical, wouldn't it, for player recruitment? And I suppose in that angle, what next for Arsenal, no matter who comes in, player-wise, new personnel-wise, that's going to be a fascinating story over the course of the summer, let alone, of course, the boss's job.
Yeah, I think that the boss's job will be sorted out perhaps in the next, say, 6 weeks or so. I honestly don't think that they've got, you know, one leading candidate particularly in mind. So I do think that they will have to kind of almost bide their time a little bit, make sure they know what's right in terms of either it's going to be a big name or a kind of young head coach. I do honestly think that the club haven't absolutely decided yet whether they are going to go in which direction, and whether it should be a kind of that sort of big name or sort of a young head coach who perhaps fits into a structure around the club. and I think they have to make that decision. I personally actually can see the merits on both, you know, whether that's a kind of, you know, something like an Enrique or Allegri, you know, would sort of kind of obviously sort of please the fans and they'd have a confidence. But I do feel, or genuinely feel this, that the club is better placed than in many, many years that I can remember to actually make the right appointment. And if they went down the head coach route, I think they feel that they have a structure within the club that would make it work, that the head coach could slot in amongst coaches, in amongst sort of senior figures there, head of recruitment, so Miss Lynn Tatt, and, you know, contracts negotiator Starmie, and obviously the chief executive himself, Ivan Gazidis and Ralph Senalai, that basically they feel as if they've got a structure that would make it work for a young head coach. People must remember that Arsene Wenger is the most successful manager they've ever had, and he was a relative unknown. Admittedly, he had some sort of senior, more senior experience than some of the names being mentioned. But it feels as if...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Arsenal have seen that work. Arsenal have looked at other clubs who are appointing young managers around sort of the Premier League. And I actually think there's sort of there's merits to both. So it'll be really interesting. I also think, obviously, that there will have to be some churn this season, you know, and particularly sort of kind of moving players on, you know, keeping players and then signing players. I think every manager will always have their own idea about certain players and who they want to keep. But I do think that there's some good players in there that can kind of really benefit from perhaps a change of regime and sort of be... sort of come to fruition again. And I think you only have to look at the strikers, you know, sort of Lacazette and Aubameyang. There's certainly lots to play with up front. Mkhitaryan was a good signing in my view. He's got lots more to offer. And I think if they can obviously get the defence sorted a little bit as well, then I think they'll have a decent structure moving forward.
And John, I think a lot of what you've just said there is exemplified by the 5-0 victory against Burnley in the Premier League that you covered yesterday. A cracking performance, a couple of goals from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Alexandre Lacazette, beauties as well from Alex Iwobi, from Sead Kolasinac. It was a great way to sign off for Arsene Wenger at home, and also just to exemplify what this squad he's leaving is capable of achieving and performing like.
Yeah, I think it was... incredibly important. I went yesterday expecting almost a sort of a nervous occasion, wondering whether it would be sad, but actually the players really delivered. Didn't get caught up in the kind of the nerves of it all, just absolutely produced. And I think actually it was almost like Burnley completely overwhelmed at times by Arsenal's sort of style. But it felt as if the players really dug deep and had so much to offer and wanted to give their own sort of send-off to Arsene Wenger, and I think that was important. I think that there's many aspects that I really like about the sort of that Arsenal performance and kind of particularly the way that Aubameyang and Lacazette. I mean, me for one thought, I'm going to sign the same player there. But actually, it gave a hint that maybe they can play together and moving forward. And why would you waste one of your sort of kind of your top signings? And sort of, I actually think that Lacazette has got a lot more to offer and a lot more to come from him, because I think it's been a frustrating season in some ways, simply because, you know, has he been fully fit? You know, has he sort of fitted in? Has he sort of hit the ground running? And I just think that, like I said, I think as we saw glimpses off against Burnley, that he's got an awful lot more to offer. I think the players, I think, delivered that performance which lifted the crowd. And I thought it was a really, really good performance. They could have even scored more goals, to be honest. It was a really complete attacking performance. And to keep a clean sheet, I think, would have pleased absolutely everybody after such a difficult this season defensively. So I thought it was a really good send-off. And it set up the sort of the post-match sort of party afterwards, sort of on the pitch and the speeches so well, because can you imagine if Arsenal hadn't won that game and had suffered a disappointing result, then the whole day, I think, would have gone a little bit flat.
It was poignant. It was really memorable. And of course, you played your part as well, which is absolutely fantastic to hear. John, as ever, appreciate your time here on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast as our Arsenal Insider.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So as we've just been hearing from Crossy, the boss was presented to the Emirates faithful one final time yesterday. Here is Arsene Wenger's farewell speech.
Thank you very much. Before I start, I just want to say that Arsenal we care, and I would like to wish my fellow manager, Ferguson, well and very quickly. Thank you all very well for having me for such a long time. I know that's not easy. But above all, I am like you, I'm an Arsenal fan. That means this is more than just watching football. It's a way of life. It is caring about the beautiful game, about the values that we cherish, and as well, that something that goes through all our body, in every cell of our body. We care, we worry, we are desperate. But when you come here, in of dreams, we realize I would like as well to thank everybody at the club who makes this club so special. And I would invite you and really push to support these players, the staff who remains behind me. For me, this group of players has a special quality. Just would like to finish by one simple word. I will miss you. Thank you all for being such an important part of my life, and hope to see you soon. Well done. Bye-bye.
It wasn't just the boss saying goodbye either. Here's club captain Per Mertesacker at the final whistle.
It was a beautiful moment, you know. It is difficult to sum it up now. You know, I need to digest first the day. It was brilliant just how the team performed and the manager letting me in for the last time. But I was pretty much focused and concentrated on the game, but afterwards was just very emotional, and to get such an exit or an ending from the club is... I'm very grateful for this opportunity, you know. The boss had put me in by bringing me here, and then this ball club entrusting me and my person. It's very humbling, and I feel very grateful.
What was it like when you were coming onto the pitch? Obviously, the fans gave you a huge ovation, but you said you were focused on the game itself, so you couldn't quite take it in.
Yeah, the good thing was we were 5-0 up, you know, so I could really take that warm welcome and the emotions to enter the pitch for the last time. It's magnificent, you know, the way I was welcomed from the first day, and now such a great finish as a football player. That is brilliant, and that speaks about this classy club by showing or giving me the opportunity here, really, to get such a great ending.
Now, you mentioned the chant that the fans gave to you. We can't mention it on air, but why does it mean so much to you that they came up with that chant for you?
Because they came up with it, you know, and went all the way through. So that gives... There's a bond, you know. So that existed from the start. So very grateful for the trust and the belief in myself, even when you struggle, even when there are bad times, you know, the fans are always brilliant. So it's a good way to move forward, you know, like to get the season out of the way and then move forward with a new manager. But it was just... spoke to the club and the class of this club that the sending off for so many great people who were involved for many, many years. Just want to say thank you, you know, because I didn't actually realise that's going to happen today.
And just lastly, we've just seen you sign autographs for about 300 people, yeah. So you can see that bond between you and the fans. It's something very special, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to take care of the fans, you know, especially when... in the modern game, you know, it's like you're separated, you know, you don't see them very often. So it was for me as well an ending where to say thank you to the fans, you know, and share some moments, some selfies, some signatures. And the fans are so grateful, you know, when you just give that little touch of being close to them, you know, that is very important for me and for the future and for this club.
And finally, some legends join the party as well. Here's two of the boss's finest imports, Freddie Ljungberg and first, Kanu.
He's been like a father figure for all of us. And for me, I could remember when I was in Inter Milan, he did everything for 6 months trying to get me to Arsenal. So for me, yeah, that's the kind of person you want to be and want to support. And I know at the time, nobody believed in me. They were like, "Ooh, you're coming out from hospital, can you play football?" But he believed in me. And when I came, I didn't disappoint him. So that's why I'm here today.
What have you made of the day as a whole? You know, the football, the celebrations afterwards?
I love it. It's a very good respect. I've seen a lot of people wearing red, saying Messi, Arsenal. There's nothing more than this. After the game, nobody left his place or her place. They're all here to support him and say goodbye and thank you for all you have done for the club.
It's an emotional day and yeah, you feel sad and at the same time you feel happy for the reception and for the day the club's made for him. But of course, if you speak to anyone that's been involved, it's an emotional day.
What does Arsene Wenger mean to you?
He means more than really I can say. But I mean, when I came here, he changed English football, in my opinion, how he feels the game should be played and it should be a technical game. And he always acted as a gentleman, in the right way. It's difficult to put into words, but he's a true gentleman.
And why was it so important for you to be here today with other legends, other invincibles?
Just to show my respect. That's all. He helped us a lot, and he helped his club something immensely. And for us to be here today was just to show respect.
For many fans growing up, when you think of Arsenal, you think of Arsene Wenger. Is that the same for you?
No, of course, I knew Arsenal Football Club before Arsene, but I think he revolutionised the way Arsenal perceived in the world, how they play football. You meet people all over the world saying, "Oh, I don't really support Arsenal, but I love how you play football." So he's changed all that, and he should never be forgotten for it.
And how much have you enjoyed being back with some of your old teammates as well?
It's funny. It's still the same banter. Still nothing serious happening. It's really nice, and we have a good laugh.
Oh! Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, joining me at the chalkboard, none other than Adrian Clark. Clark, you're looking most summery, which is very, very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, great to see you. The sun's out. You've got to dress accordingly. Loving this weather.
Sun's out, guns out, as you once tweeted, of course, when you took over my Twitter poll as your victorious prize nearly a year ago.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. Yeah, sorry about that.
Now, we'll start, before we look ahead to these two big games away to Leicester and Huddersfield, with our question at the chalkboard, which I think really simply has to be this. What's your favourite Arsene Wenger moment?
So, well, there's so many great moments, aren't there? I would say that the moments that I've enjoyed have been when he's been angry, because they've been quite humorous moments. I loved what he did at Old Trafford when he stood in the middle of the stand there once he'd been sent from the dugout. That was absolutely classic. And yeah, because it's so against his nature, whenever you do see him angry and involved in a kind of a spat, it always sticks in the memory. But in terms of treasured memories, I think the first of the last run of FA Cup victories, the one over Hull City, because that one meant so much to him. He needed that trophy badly. And obviously the way the game went, you know, 2-0 down and coming back from it, just the look on his face, the sheer relief and joy that he took in winning that FA Cup was really special. So that would probably be my favourite. But look, there are so, so many over 22 years. It's just ridiculous. I also did think the club gave him a wonderful send-off, it has to be said. It was really fitting. Very special sort of scenes at Emirates Stadium. And, yeah, everybody involved should feel proud of themselves for giving him the right farewell.
Adrian, thank you for your thoughts on that. Let's look ahead then to Arsenal's final two games, of not just the season, but of Wenger's tenure. And it all starts in midweek, as they travel to Leicester City, a team in some, I wouldn't say turmoil, but some uncertainty, with increasing reports that Claude Puel won't last the summer as their boss.
Yeah, well, they are kind of in turmoil, even though that they're in mid-table, there's no worries there. But the fan base have turned on Claude Puel. They are not happy with him. Basically, they think he's boring, as did Southampton last year. And look, he is a manager that will get you into the top half, clearly, but the style of football that he's developing there is not easy. It's not attractive. It's not entertaining. It's very possession-based. And I've got to say, when Jamie Vardy is still your best player, Russ, he's your go-to guy, and he is. That slow possession football does not suit that team. They're always at their best when they play counter-attacking, quick on the transition. So I think he's maybe mistaken a little bit, Claude Puel, to develop that style, make it their primary style. It's great to have a plan B, but he's kind of made it his plan A of late, and it's just not worked.
So Vardy has still scored a fair few goals of late and had another solid season when fit. Would he be your key danger man? Who else should we look out for? Harry Maguire at the back has certainly turned quite a few heads this season, hasn't he?
Harry Maguire's been very good. I like more Mark Albright, and he's a player that doesn't get a lot of airtime. He's not somebody we talk about a lot. But if you give him room to deliver a cross, he can be deadly. He's got a wonderful right foot. He's definitely a player to watch out for in this game. But yeah, I'd say obviously Mahrez and Vardy are the danger men. Riyad Mahrez at the moment is not on a rich vein of form, but I'm sure he will try and impress Arsenal in this particular game. But yeah, it's all about Jamie Vardy for me, Leicester City, and his battle with Callum Chambers and or Mavropanos, who, I mean, the pair of them in their last two outings have been absolutely tremendous. What they've got to do is get their distances right. They want to push up and squeeze the space, but also they don't want to leave too much of a gap between themselves and Petr Cech. So it's all about judging distances when you look after Jamie Vardy, and I hope these two young guys can handle that well.
OK, so we move on from that game to the final game of the season, away to Huddersfield Town this coming Sunday. Hopefully there, Clarkie, if not a few days prior, Arsenal will have got their first away Premier League win since the turn of the year, because this run has been deeply concerning, hasn't it?
Oh, it's not been good at all. No, it's really disappointing. It's struggled, actually, to create chances. When you think that this is a season where we've scored, I think, the joint highest number of goals on home turf at Emirates Stadium this season. So scoring goals at home, not a problem. Away from home, we've just not been creating enough chances, and the lack of stability at the back has cost the team badly on a number of occasions. It can't go on, and whoever does take over from Arsene Wenger will look to identify that area of weakness straight away and, and make us more resilient, harder to beat. And we will need to be resilient in these two games, because whenever you go away, even against teams out of form like Leicester, or against teams near the bottom of the table like Huddersfield, you will come under pressure at various moments, and we've got to stand firm in these two games.
Now, in terms of Huddersfield and their manager, David Wagner, an excellent season, pretty much keeping the Terriers up, we can now safely say, and actually linked, funnily enough, to the Leicester job.
I saw that, yeah. I like his character. He's a real personality, isn't he? The Huddersfield style is... I always feel Huddersfield are better when they're a bit in your face, a little bit like Leicester were when they won the title, where they're hunting impacts, they win the ball, and then from the transitions, they kind of hurt you. When they sit back and defend, they can do it, but they don't really have much of an outlet up front, Huddersfield, because there's not a lot of pace with Meunier or De Poitre. They've got big guys up top, but not quickies, and I think that's meant they've got camped inside their own half for a lot of games this season. So it'll be interesting to see how they play it in this particular fixture. It's a game we should be able to win, but look, Huddersfield not mathematically safe, I don't believe, at the moment, so there could be something riding on it for them, and if there is, they will be really, really hungry and out to spoil Arsene Wenger's final game.
And who would you highlight for one or two Huddersfield players? Jonathan Hogg is perhaps not the most gifted player, but boy, does he stick a boot in midfield.
Yes.
Someone
chat.
Like a Rajiv van Lepara on his day can be a match winner.
He can, yeah. I think that they're two good shouts. I think the two I would pick out are Christopher Schindler, the centre-half. He's been outstanding this season, quite heroic at times. He isn't quick, he's not big particularly, but he reads the game brilliantly and he mops up everything for them. He has really impressed me, and I think a lot of clubs will be looking at him moving forwards as a potential signing. And actually, a guy that very few people talk about is Hadar Janai, the right back. He's got into the side in the second half of the season, and he's a really good attacking right back, and he will be looking to push Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang backwards. That duel between Aubameyang and Hadar Janai could be really, really interesting. I would expect Aubameyang to kind of give him more to think about inside the final third, but watch out for the Huddersfield right back piling forward. And when he does, he's an excellent crosser of the ball. So, yeah, those are two success stories for the Terriers this season.
If you are the manager, therefore, effectively, this is your final game in charge, your last away game.
Oh, goodness.
What is your emotional last 5-second team talk?
I can't really do it justice, Russ. I really can't. But my words, and I doubt that Arsene Wenger will say these words, but my words would be, go out there, boys, and play some Wenger ball.
Clarky, excellent way to leave it. And on that note, when can we see and or hear you again?
Yeah, I'll be on the... I'm on Match Day Show duty presenting both games, actually, Leicester and Huddersfield. So make sure you tune in on Arsenal.com.
Well, the final word this week belongs to Arsenal legend Bob Wilson, who had the honour of introducing Arsene Wenger at yesterday's on-pitch presentation.
When Arsene Wenger arrived at Arsenal, which is more than two decades ago now, everyone was asking the same question. Arsene who? Now, I was privileged to be the Arsenal goalkeeping coach at the club on the day that he arrived, and it very quickly became clear to me and to everybody connected to the club that this man knew exactly who he was. Arsene Wenger, the visionary Arsene Wenger, an inspiration. He has built the Arsenal that we know and love today. He's lived and breathed this club's values, which have been honed over our 132 years of history. He's actually changed the face of football, the face of the game in this country. Hundreds of players owe their careers to him. This, then, is Arsene Wenger, the greatest manager we have ever had. Let me just remind you, 38 league games played, 26 wins, 12 draws, no defeats, manager Arsene Wenger.
Well, Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Arsene Wenger, Bob Wilson, John Cross, and of course Adrian Clarke for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well, and also find us on Acast these days. Remembering too to get your questions into Clarke at the chalkboard on Twitter, and that's using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Monday, the 14th of May, for our final podcast of this season. And until then, bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.